Yodeling Boy. He's going to perform at the Knoxville Walmart.
He better stick with the hits and what got him famous. He better yodel. He better sing Lovesick Blues.
When you go this week, Daddy's.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Mason Ramsey sticks to his roots, okay? He's not the kind of guy. He's not going Taylor Swift on
it. Yeah, that's exactly what his new single sounds like.
Well, he's trying to branch out.
Well, that's fine. He didn't stay to his roots. He branched out immediately. The first chance he got, he branched out.
On 1340 WKGN.
Did you hear how quick that happened, Ben Lee? He stuck to his roots and he branched out in the same sentence.
You can stick to your roots and still branch out. That's what trees do. I mean, that's what trees do.
Hour 3 kicking off in the truly hard seltzer studios. Hour 3 is brought to you by MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code Knoxville. And they will match your deposit 100% up to $1,000. And we get credit for it. Currently, right now, MyBookie, the Jets are 10-point dogs. Moneyline plus 335. Over under a 43.5. I don't really like anything in that game. I'm not going to tell you to take anything in that game. Just maybe watch if you got some fantasy implications or maybe if you want to see Sam Darnold. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know what to do with that Patriots defense. I think the Jets will be able to move the ball, maybe cover the spread at the end. But I don't know. I'm not advocating for anything there. But use the promo code Knoxville. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. All right, hour 3 headlines. Cam Black, John Reed. Let's double team.
All right. Ohio State jumps over Clemson to number 3 in the AP poll. The new AP poll came out recently. And, after this past weekend, Ohio State has moved past Clemson. Ohio State received 13 first-place votes to Clemson's 9. So they did jump over them. They both had blowouts, but I guess they thought Ohio State was a little bit more impressive, which I would agree. I mean, like you said, about Trevor Lawrence was struggling a little bit at times. The new AP poll is out. Alabama remains number 1, followed by LSU, having Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma round out the top 5. Penn State moved up to 6. Florida's sitting at 7. Auburn's at 9. Georgia's at 10. Oregon moved up to 11. Let's see what else. SMU's at 16. Baylor's up at 14, like we mentioned earlier. Wisconsin dropped to 13th in the poll. Boise's still ranked even after losing to BYU last week. They're sitting at 22nd. And okay. Wake Forest has entered at 25.
I'm not going to take like Wake Forest and Boise seriously, but whatever. I guess you got to have 20. If you have a top 25, you have to have 25 teams, right?
Yeah.
Should probably just drop it down to the top 15. I feel like they always just like start really just guessing after 15. Sometimes it feels like they're guessing after 10, but either way.
There's 10 teams in the poll, but they're undefeated at the moment. Most of them are in the top 6.
Okay.
But, some of those small schools are still trying to get those New Year Day bowls.
A severe drought that has drained water sources in Zimbabwe's largest national park has left 55 elephants dead since September, a spokesman for the county's wildlife agency says.
Oof.
Why am I crying in the studio right now?
Hey, you hate to see that.
55 elephants. Man, I love elephants. Elephants are really smart, right?
Yeah, they
are. Real emotional and stuff, too.
Yeah, they do. Like, they mourn their dead and stuff like that. So they
really
all,
sad
that
they,
all were hurting.
Just imagining how, like, so. Because, I mean, you know all 55 didn't die at the same time, right?
Yeah, it was probably staggered.
They were dead at different times.
Yeah.
Like, they were mourning and knowing that it was coming. That's sad. Move on. Next headline, please.
All right.
Poor elephant.
Facebook has reportedly reached deals with multiple publishers
hopefully
to provide content.
Hopefully Maharaj is okay.
For upcoming, do I have this upcoming news tab? Facebook is basically going to launch a new tab dedicated just to news. So they've reached deals with apparently a bunch of prominent publishers. So, yeah, I guess Facebook's going to try and get into the news business now, along with the creeping on you and, I guess, just the social media networking.
Yeah, just when Facebook had kind of gotten out of the news, right? Like, I feel like we had turned our attention to Apple. Like, yeah. Apple had got busted, giving, like, millions of people's data to China. Like, there were Chinese people, like, whose data they were given, but... You know, they had been really bowing down to China, and you know the heat was on them a little bit, and now Facebook wants to get back in that business, I guess.
Yeah, Subaru. Yeah, they're always doing something.
They want some more.
Them.
Yeah, they want some more bad publicity. All right. Apparently, the Denver Broncos, Cam, have been fielding calls for their lead receiver, Emmanuel Sanders. Mm-hmm. Sanders would leave behind $6.9 million of dead cap to the Broncos. And the new team acquires him at 1 year, $6.03 million fully guaranteed. So, I mean, $6 million for Emmanuel Sanders wouldn't be a bad fit for a team needing a receiver. Any teams jump out to you needing receivers? Like, I mean, to me,
maybe
the Eagles.
The Packers.
Okay, the Packers. Yeah, the Packers, especially like with Devontae Adams. That would be a really good move. I still feel like the Eagles need a receiver.
Yeah,
but
I'd agree.
Do they risk trading for a receiver again after trading for Golden Tate last year and getting absolutely nothing from him? Like, the Packers, though, make a lot of sense, even though Aaron Rodgers bought out yesterday with no receivers. Emmanuel Sanders wouldn't make sense because apparently Devontae Adams is going to struggle with this turf toe for the entire season. So, okay, good submission by Cam. Good
team to
keep an eye on.
Maybe the Patriots still, too. They always seem to need one.
Patriots and
Josh Gordon's out, I think. Yeah. We don't know how long on that yet.
And I got to say, there might be another team who – all of a sudden is looking around saying, hey, we're actually kind of good. We need some help, though, the Oakland Raiders. Like, they played – I know this final score was bad, but they moved the ball on the Packers a lot. If it wasn't for a late second quarter fumble by Derek Carr, he had one of those plays where he's reaching for the pylon and fumbled it, and they got a touchback, and the Packers went right down the field and scored a touchdown and then got the ball to start the second half and scored a touchdown and kind of put it away. That game was close. The Raiders were driving for the lead there and fumbled it away. But if you're John Gruden, who, by the way, has been pretty damn good at actually coaching this year, if you're John Gruden, can you afford to trade another asset for a receiver? Because you did that for Martavis Bryant and didn't get anything. And obviously you traded picks for Antonio Brown and didn't get any return there. They did just trade for Zay Jones or Sandre. They acquired Zay Jones. I think they traded for him.
Yeah, I think they traded for him as well. So, yeah, maybe they're out of the market.
Yeah, maybe they're out of the market.
I think Zay Jones is a new start. You never know, but.
Yeah, he's not Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a big name on the market there if you're needing a receiver. Patriots and Packers, that's who I would watch out for.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so the 49ers win over the Redskins was not just a sloppy mess. It was also the shortest game in the NFL in the past 10 years. The game lasted less than 2 hours and 30 minutes. It took 2 hours and 36 minutes, which is the shortest game since the Patriots defeated the Jags 35-7 in week 16 of the 09 season. The teams kept it on the ground pretty much the whole game because how sloppy it was. So
yeah, that was
just going.
That was a really ugly game, and it sucked that, you know, if you had any 49ers in fantasy, you probably shouldn't have had many Redskins. Maybe you had McLaurin. Maybe you started Peterson, but it was just a really, really sloppy game, and I know I got screwed by George Kittle having to play in that and Tevin Coleman, so.
Yep.
It was fun to see the highlights, though, when they put it on the red zone. Like, it was cool to see people sliding around.
That was funny.
It looks like they avoided any catastrophe, any injuries. Like, if somebody got hurt there, especially for the 49ers, who are, you know, among the best in the league, if somebody there would have gotten hurt, that would have been bad. But
yeah, I didn't see any injuries for them.
Yeah, especially not any big ones. So the 49ers moved to 6-0.
Yeah, about 30. I think it said the average NFL game this season has been 3 hours and 7 minutes.
They got that done what? 2 hours and
36.
So okay,
like about half an hour quicker than most. But yeah.
A little bit of breaking news / headlines. Panthers head coach Ron Rivera has announced his starting quarterback for Sunday. Ooh. Who do you think it is?
Kyle Allen. Oh, nice.
Cam Newton stays on the bench, even though he is apparently healthy.
Oh, interesting.
But he's playing against the 49ers. Is this a this feels like a move where maybe you let Kyle Allen struggle and then you go back to Cam? Like, it feels like Cam called it a setup. It feels like a little bit like a setup. Like, hey, you maybe go take this L, Kyle Allen, and then we'll put Cam back in the starting lineup against the Titans. But Kyle Allen, I guess, has done enough to keep the job at least one more week. Because I assume, like, Cam Newton said he was going to be healthy in time, right? Like, wasn't he going to return to practice this week? Wasn't that all the reports?
Yeah, I thought that was the game plan. But, yeah, I feel like this is one of those games that just against that 49ers defense, they're just going to send Kyle Allen out. If he has a bad game, oh, no.
Yeah.
Guess time to put Cam in. And,
yeah, because, I mean, the absolute worst thing that could happen is that you put Cam in against the 49ers and the 49ers shut the offense down, and everyone's like, why are we back with Cam Newton?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to avoid here. But, yeah, we'll see. I'd say more time, too, for Cam to get even healthier. Like, even if he's good to go now, I'd say an extra week is not going to hurt. He probably could use it for sure. Yeah, he's been so injury-prone recently. Give him all the time he needs.
All right, so Rappaport just tweeted out that Cam Newton will be continuing to rehab with the trainers this week. No practice for Cam just yet. So,
okay.
I mean, it's fine. Like, if he's not going to start, no reason to have him back at practice just yet. Like, let him continue to get healthy. But it doesn't mean that he couldn't have been healthy and ready to play. Got any other headlines?
I got one more. Suspect has been charged with the shooting death of Andre Emmett. If you remember, the former NBA and Texas Tech player, he was shot recently in Dallas, and they have finally got the guy and got the guy who did it, and another suspect also. So good, some justice there.
Okay.
That guy was a big standout in the Ice Cube's Big Three.
Okay, so this happened recently, I guess. I don't really remember this story.
Yeah, it was during a September 23rd robbery.
Okay.
He apparently got shot by someone. He was sitting in his vehicle outside a residence, and they shot him on there, like, while they were running. But, yeah, he was a big-time player in the Big Three in 2018. He was second in the league in points. But, yeah, they finally got the guys who did that.
Gotcha. So they got the guy.
Yeah.
Or at least they think they do. I guess we'll stand trial or whatever and see. But they got somebody. They got somebody arrested. So maybe we'll get some justice there. Let me check. Do I got anything we need to hit? No. Okay, well, maybe this is worthy of a headline. And kind of crazy. Maybe this might make me have to pump the brakes on 6-4. But Coach Andy Reid said it would, quote, be a stretch for quarterback Pat Mahomes to play for the Chiefs this Sunday.
Huh. I know he was trying to beat the timetable, but this seems
that seems a little extreme, like a week and a half. I mean, I know they played on Thursday night and you get a couple extra days of rest, but man, like it is going to be fascinating to see how they handle this though, Cam, because the Chiefs do have a tough schedule.
Yeah.
They do have a tough schedule and they're going to need Mahomes to maybe win some of those games. Andy Reid says, I don't think you put a timeline on this thing. You go off how he feels and what the doctor's saying. Go with it. I don't think there's a set time, though. I know people want a time, but I don't think you can do that with this type of injury. When you've been around him long enough, you know that there's nothing impossible with this kid. He goes 100 miles an hour, and it's important. He's smart. He listens to the doctors and goes to the trainers, and he needs to work hard at the same time to get himself ready to go. All right, so kind of crazy, so maybe, yeah. I mean, there's hope, I guess, that maybe there won't be a 3 or 4 week injury with Mahomes. Maybe it's just a 1 or 2 week injury. We'll see. Saquon Barkley kind of beat the timeline back, and he looked pretty good yesterday. There was a moment where he looked like he was re-injured, but he came back in and scored a touchdown. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Chiefs. But Andy Reid not ruling out anything when it comes to Mahomes. So something to keep an eye on in the NFL race. All right, good batch of headlines, Cam. Good batch of headlines, John. Thanks, John. Let's go to break.
Thanks, John.
Tennessee is currently 4-point underdogs. If you had to pick right now, Cam, which way are you leaning on that?
I'm taking Tennessee there. Because I think, if anything, it'll be a field goal game.
I mean, just that's what the South Carolina-Tennessee series has been, right? The Tennessee-South Carolina series has been just a whole bunch of one-possession, one-score games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even when, like, one team's much better, like Tennessee was in 2016, obviously you know what happened there. Even when Tennessee was in a disastrous season in 2017, that came down to a goal line, one-score situation. Like, Tennessee was much better in 2015 and survived on a fumble by the South Carolina, either wide receiver or tight end, I don't remember. He fumbled as they were heading in to take the lead. Like, this is just a close series through the year. So, Tennessee getting 4 at home, I do think I agree with you, and I think that would be the play. I don't know if I'm surprised at the spreads being four. Like, South Carolina beat Georgia, and they deserve respect for that. I understand that. And, you know, they did some things against Florida, although it was a really sloppy, rainy day.
Yeah.
I understand that, but, like, I didn't come away, like, impressed with Helinski. I didn't come away feeling impressed with South Carolina's offense. Like, Feaster, the guy who transferred from Clemson,
yep,
he bought out. He ran all over them, 25 carries, 175 yards. But that seems to be kind of an anomaly for him. Like, it's not like he's been doing that all year. Like, if you look at his stats this season, I mean, that was only his second 100-yard game. Like, it's not like he's an elite stud back who Tennessee can't stop. And if you remember the Mississippi State game, that, you know, is it Kalen Hill? Is that guy's name? Like, he was the leading SEC running back, and Tennessee handled him. So I'm not scared of Devin Feaster, or Tavian Feaster, excuse me. He had a game where he balled out, 25 carries, 175 yards, a touchdown, a long of a 37. So he had one explosive play, but it wasn't like that's where he got all of his yards from. But against Georgia, 7 for 27. Against Kentucky, 15 for 107, two touchdowns. So that was his other good game of the year. Missouri, 6 for 14. Alabama, 10 of 33. Charleston Southern, 6 for 64. North Carolina, 13 for 72. So, I mean, he's had some explosive runs, but it's not like he's an every down back who is just going to be able to churn out big yards on you, it seems like. That's the way I feel about him.
Yeah,
maybe he's turned a quarter against Florida. Maybe he'll be able to come into Knoxville and do that. But I'm not looking at that game as evidence as to why I would be afraid of him.
Yeah, and our front seven's been playing well the past few games. So I definitely like that matchup there. And like you said, yeah, they weren't very impressive. Like, yeah, they were hanging around with Florida, but they didn't do anything that made me like, oh, man, I'm scared that South Carolina does this well or this well. But
yeah, Helinski threw for 170 yards. Again, it was rainy. I'm not going to kill him for that, but, you know, Trask still was able to throw for 204 touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, Trask was still able to, you know, 21 of 33. That's quite better than 17 of 35. You know, like, that's better percentage. It's you're moving the ball more. Four touchdowns. I mean, whatever. You had opportunities near the goal line. You're able to cash in there. But South Carolina needs this win. South Carolina comes in favorite, I'll be interested to see how that trends throughout the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which way that goes. It opened at 4.5. It's already down to 4 at some places. So some early money was on Tennessee, but not enough to move it significantly. 4.5 still, you know, posted in a lot of places. So we'll see how that trends. But I like Tennessee's spot here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, especially, yeah, like we said, with the close games, giving them the field goal in there, that's a nice little perk right there for now. But, yeah, I kind of expect the money to move towards Tennessee. If I think with the recency bias to how close they were against Bama and stuff.
Well, I think South Carolina has more recency bias, though, because they did beat Georgia, and they did play close with Florida, and if you watched that game, you probably felt like South Carolina got screwed, which I was really worried heading into the Alabama game. Like, man, we're going to get a bad whistle against South Carolina next week because they got completely screwed in the Florida game, so the SEC is going to be like, hey, we got to make up, you know, this to them. The good news is you got really screwed by Alabama. Like, and yeah, maybe it cost you a program-shaping win or at least a Jeremy Pruitt tenure-defining win, but the good news is the refs should be coming in like, hey, we screwed both these teams last week. Let's just call this one down the middle.
Yeah, maybe we won't get any flags at all. Maybe they'll just let them play.
Just let them play.
That'd be ideal. But
holding every time, it doesn't matter. Let's see what the running backs got.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Daniel Batuli was tossed out of the game against Alabama for targeting, but that happened in the first half, so he only has to miss the second half of the Alabama game. He will be able to start and play, which seems kind of crazy. Not that Batuli can play, because Batuli definitely should play, but I don't think we give it enough credit for like how dumb the rule is that if you get suspended in the second half, you have to miss the first half of the next game, which just theoretically, like, kind of like what happened to 2-0, but you get tossed out of the second half of the Georgia game in the third quarter, and then you have to miss three quarters of football, where Batuli got tossed out really the end of the first half, or at least the halfway point of the first half, and he only has to miss 2.5 quarters. It just seems a little
it doesn't
inconsistent.
Make sense. I really hate that rule, but
feels like. I mean, I guess I get what they're going for. Like, hey, we don't want you to be able to just tee off on people in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then like only have to miss like the last 3 minutes of a game. Like we want to punish you, at least by making you miss a half of football, or at least feel like you missed some part of the game. I get that. It just seems, you know, a penalty could happen within 2 minutes of game time and cost you basically a whole game if you get tossed out at the beginning of the third quarter.
Insane. But, yeah, we'll probably miss him a little bit in the first half, but, like.
Oh, no. Batuli happened in the first half, so he'll be back.
Oh,
yeah.
Not
we missed, yeah, we, like, missed, we missed Hank T in the first half.
Yeah, so we definitely missed him in the first half a little bit. Alabama, like, you know, they still held their own, but like, he would have really helped.
I would have liked to have seen him and Batuli against them, like, together, and we never got that because Batuli was tossed out before Hank could get in and play. So both those guys will be there against South Carolina at the beginning, and I think both those guys are playing pretty well together, and that allows Crouch to kind of go back to the outside rusher and, you know, maybe helps create more pass rush for Tennessee. You saw a couple of other guys make some plays, like Tank McCullough. You know, he came shot out of a cannon on that safety blitz where he was able to sack and really hurt Jones. He crushed him. You saw him kind of be able to create that, so maybe he'll get some more reps. And Nigel Warrior's kind of on a streak of playing his best football at Tennessee in the last 3 or 4 games. So slowly the defense is morphing into what we want it to be. I think it'll have to have a big performance against South Carolina, assuming that Tennessee's offense might be limited either through Will Muschamp's defensive scheme or through Garantano.
Man,
maybe being the starting quarterback.
I would love to get the Muschamp monkey off her back.
That'd be great, right? I said all offseason, like, to me, the season comes down to South Carolina. Not so much the one game, but just like, can you finish ahead of them? Which, whether or not you finish ahead of them, might come down to this game.
Yep.
But, like, South Carolina, that's a team that you should beat this year. I've been saying that all offseason, and I know South Carolina beat Georgia. That's fine. That doesn't mean that I think they're a great team. I think they just played a good game.
Mm-hmm. And with their quarterback situation and everything, like, it's if you can't get them this time, like, I don't even know. It's one you should win. It's set up for us to finally get that win, but we'll see. He, for some reason, Muschamp knows what he's doing when he's playing Tennessee. I don't know.
Let's go to break. Let's come back. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Get your pipes ready. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, it's Monday. It's 2:30. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you
lose.
Winners and losers. All right, Cam, hit me with your winners of the weekend. Who won this weekend?
All right, my number 3 winner is Brett Maher. However you say the Dallas kicker's name. We'll call him Maurer because we love Maurers here.
I'm so, like, by the way, just a little side note, can we please get a quarterback with an easy name to spell? Like, like, I mean, Dobbs was perfect. Like, just drop in an easy Dobbs. Like, between Dormady and Garantano and now Maurer, I always have to stop when I get to, like, the AU. I'm like, is there an R here? Or what is it?
They're making it tough on us.
But you're talking about the Dallas kicker.
He became the first kicker in NFL history to kick 3 field goals over 60 yards after he hit a 63-yarder in a 63-yarder of his weekend against the Eagles, which is, so that's big time. Never been done before, so congrats to him. He's definitely a winner. This man's got a leg. My number 2 winner is Aaron Rodgers. He had been, I wouldn't say bad this year, but he hasn't done anything special this year until this past week. We already doubting him with no receivers out there, but he comes out and has a 6 total touchdown performance game, and he was unstoppable. Like, he looked lights out. It was pretty incredible to watch. If you haven't seen it, watch the highlights of it. He threw for 429 yards on only 6 incompletions. He had as many total touchdowns as he had incompletions. Like, he was just unreal. Like, perfect passer rating, I think, and everything.
Yeah, it was a nice little reminder to everyone of like, oh yeah, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And like that was to a bunch of receivers that you don't like, no one else really wants type of thing. You know what I mean? Like that was just to a bunch of no name guys.
And he was throwing them to like his running backs were making great catches for him in the end zone too. Like he was getting it to everybody, and he just looked like when people say he's the most talented quarterback, he tried to back that up this past week. And my number one winner is Appalachian State. I'm giving them the nod because
what the hell they do?
They became the first Sun Belt team to win as a ranked team,
They
were the first Sun Belt team to be ranked in consecutive weeks.
All right.
So, congrats to them. What a come up for them from being an FCS team to being Division I and now setting Sun Belt records. So, I just want to give a nod to them out there. Big time for them.
That's a pretty good list. Winners. I was going to say, I saw that they won like 59-7 or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what made them winners outside of just being actual winners. But first team to be ranked in the Sun Belt that actually won a game. So shout out to them. My third biggest winner of the weekend, I got to give it to the Colts. Okay. I thought the Colts had a big win that was getting them in first place in the division. They came off a bye. We've talked about their schedule. I think their schedule is really easy. I like to think that I talk a lot of trash, right? I talk a lot of trash, and the Colts fans, I've talked a lot of trash about them. But I like to think that I'm fair. So I got to give credit where it's due. The Colts probably winning this division pretty easily. And the Colts, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, and I still think they would have been one had they had Andrew Luck. Like, I do think Andrew Luck's ceiling is still much, much higher than what Jacoby can do. That's no slight to Jacoby. I just thought Andrew Luck was special. So I still think in the long run they lose with that retirement. But for this season, you know, people left them for dead, including myself. The over-under went all the way down to 7.5, and they're about to cash that in like three more games, it feels like. So the Colts, big division win at home. I'll call them my third biggest winners of the weekend. Number two for me, I'll go Penn State. I thought Penn State, they beat Michigan. They stay undefeated. They move up to number six in the polls. They kind of become that second Big Ten team, that people talk about. You know, for the longest it was Ohio State and Wisconsin. Now it feels like it's Ohio State and Penn State. So, big win for James Franklin. You know, he's creeping up to tier one. Yeah, I think he has to win a championship before we put him there, but he might be the top of tier two at this point. Number one for me, this might be cheating. I don't know if it's cheating, but it's my rules. It's my game, and I'm going with the trio of quarterbacks. I went with Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and Kirk Cousins. I thought all three of those guys balled out and had really good performances in their own way. Kirk Cousins made history. We talked about he's the only quarterback in NFL history to have three straight games with 300 passing yards and a quarterback rating over 130. Lamar Jackson ran all over Seattle, got a big road win, and Aaron Rodgers. Perfect passer rating, 6 touchdowns, a nice reminder of, oh yeah, this guy's the man. It was a nice what's my name type of performance from Aaron Rodgers to to the Raiders. Like,
yeah, they could not stop it.
Yeah, remember who I am. Remember who I am. A lot of talking about the throne. It's still mine. Kind of think we'll see some of that from LeBron this year too, but a good performance from Aaron Rodgers. All right, hit me with your losers of the weekend. Who lost this weekend, Cam?
All right, my number three loser, I got to give it to Matt Ryan. Just another bad performance for the Falcons. He didn't do himself any favors really in the game. And then worst of all, he goes out with an injury. So not only is the team hurting, he is specifically hurting a lot more physically. He's stuck on a bad team. It's only going to get worse from here with him being out. He's definitely a loser this week, as are the Falcons. Next up.
Yeah, we might as well call this the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad.
The Memorial Atlanta Falcons Memorial Losers of the Weekend.
Yeah, I'm about to attend the funeral, but my number two loser of the weekend is the Los Angeles Chargers. When you have that many opportunities at the goal line at the end of the game, and basically I think it's pretty much a must-win game for them, you can't not get a score there. And as it was just a debacle from them. Like, Titans helped them a little bit, even gave them extra chances, and they still couldn't get it done. Melvin Gordon, like we touched on earlier, you can't complain about not getting the ball get stuffed twice from the 1 yard line and fumble one of them. Like,
and it's, he kind of fumbled the second one too. Like, yeah, he almost fumbled the one right before that.
Yeah, it was just bad all around there, and they just big debacle there at the end of the game for them. So it was a must win for them, and yeah, now Phillip Rivers is on another bad Chargers team, and we thought they were gonna be pretty good this year. So they are my number two losers. And my number one losers of the weekend are college refs. It was bad all around. Lane Kiffin was out here tweeting about his refs.
I didn't see what happened in his game. I saw they lost on the last second touchdown, but I didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't see the exact thing.
The play,
yeah,
either. I saw he tweeted about that. And
he straight tagged Conference USA. Yeah. He got fined for that. Muschamp was complaining about South Carolina, and they did have some big missed calls in that game. And then, of course, we know about the Tennessee-Alabama game. Just some questionable stuff from refs. And it's been going on all year in across college and NFL, really. But, yeah, college refs are my number one losers this week. They got to do better.
Got to do better. I don't know, like, what their pay structure is. I imagine they're not full-time employees because the NFL just got, like, a handful of refs being full-time employees, yeah, like, a couple years ago. But it feels like you should be able, especially for like the as much money as there is in college football, like they're not giving it to the athletes yet, so like, yeah, at least for the big conferences, like for SEC games, like, can we not have some full-time SEC officiating or officials? Can,
dang,
we not have,
I'll do it if they need somebody, like, come on now.
Oof. Might not be a bad career path. They always, yeah, talk about how much of a shortage there is for officials. Cam, you're still relatively young,
yeah,
you're in good shape,
like, take that test.
Work your way up. Could be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be fun.
And then all of a sudden we could have you go viral. We'll have you go viral, like when you're racing the when you're racing the athletes down the sideline. Like,
and that's when I'll come back for Rick.
That's right. You'll come back 10 years later. Remember me in your black and white shirt. All right, my losers of the weekend. The third spot I went back and forth on. I ultimately gave it to the combination of Mike Vrabel and Marcus Mariota. I thought Vrabel got exposed as being a dumbass, at least to his fan base. I don't know if it'll gain national attention since the Titans ended up winning, but Vrabel looks dumb for his in-game management again. Also looks dumb for his decision to stick with Marcus Mariota. Mariota looks like a loser just because the offense doesn't miss him. The offense got better without him. And I understand the Chargers defense, you know, had some backups in, and the Chargers defense hasn't been great this year, but still, their defensive line, at least with Joey Bosa, is still pretty good. And the Titans hadn't been able to get the ball to their skill players, and they did all day on Sunday. And Corey Davis finally resurrected from the trash pile. Number two for me, another little combo, I went with Melvin Gordon and Mitchell Trubisky. I couldn't decide between one of them. Mitchell Trubisky comes back from injury, comes back out of the bye week, gets his triumphant return, and nah, bro, still lost and still looked like trash. And you take an L. You take an L, a bad L at home, and it looks like you are going to be the full blame as to why this team stinks and why an elite defense misses the playoffs. Really bad game for Mitchell Trubisky. Melvin Gordon, Cam kind of hit it. You ask for more carries. You ask for more fourth quarter carries, and you do absolutely nothing with them, and you also lose your team the game. Since returning in week five, he has 36 carries for 81 yards. That is 46th. Among the qualifying 47 running backs in the NFL. So he is second to last in yards per carry. You held out. You came back. You then complained about your workload. And then you fumbled the ball when your team had a chance to get back to 3-4. And, like, the Chargers, man, like, you had a chance to get back to 3-4. And I don't know if you noticed, guys, but Patrick Mahomes is out. Like, yeah, you might could have made some ground in that divisional race, but now it looks like you're teetering on, like, blow-it-up status, although we'll see. My number one biggest loser of the weekend, got to go with Wisconsin. Mm. Got to go with Wisconsin. They don't have very many opportunities for signature wins. Like, they get Ohio State, and they might get Ohio State twice, I guess, but would that be enough, Cam, to put them back in the playoff?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Like, I feel like even if they run the table, yeah, losing to Wisconsin this year feels like it should be the death blow. They got at Ohio State this weekend, which I think they got caught looking ahead. Mm-hmm. Like, they were getting ready for Ohio State this week. Didn't want to get too open up the playbook too much, but lose to Ohio, they play Ohio State. If they beat them, They then would play Iowa and at Minnesota. Minnesota and Iowa are 17th and 20th, respectively. And then you'd probably get a rematch with either Ohio State or Penn State. Maybe if you run the table, you would have a chance. But, man, like, got to think that two SEC teams have a better chance. Like, you know, the loser of Alabama-LSU, you probably take them over Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If the other team, you know, finishes win-loss, Oklahoma, I don't know. I guess in this equation, you knock out Ohio State, you beat them twice, so maybe you could get in. But for now, Wisconsin, they lose a real big avenue with their margin of error, because I think, Cam, if they'd have beat Illinois and say they go to Ohio State next week, they go to the Horseshoe this weekend and lose, they still probably could have controlled their destiny by running the table and then beating them in a rematch. But losing to Lovie Smith, man, that feels like that ruins Wisconsin's chances of making the playoff. All right, good batch of winners and losers. Good job, Cam. We'll play some Last Call, pump the brakes, and keep rolling next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Last Call is presented by Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. The official liquor of the Knoxville Ice Bears. If you go catch an Ice Bears game, pick you up some Volunteer Vodka. Show them some love. We love them. They love us. If you love us, you love them. That's how the transitive property works. Time to pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cam, you want to go first or second?
I can go first.
All right, go for it.
Florida.
Okay.
All right, peak Florida. Woman gets a video of a it's a coral snake is eating a it's just a lot going on in this. There's a coral snake eating a rat snake, and then a wasp flies up and starts stinging the coral snake. So it's just a whole bunch going on. Yeah, so there was a coral snake, which they're venomous snakes, and they eat other snakes. So I guess it killed this rat snake.
So they kill the other snakes with their venom?
Yeah.
Is that weird or is that normal?
It's one of the usually most aren't venomous, but
I would think that snakes that were venomous, I would think that snakes would be immune to a snake's venom. I know that doesn't work that way, but it just
Depends on the species.
Yeah.
Like some are, but the coral snake.
Like you can't.
You've probably seen the coral
snake. You can't
snakes.
Sting me with venom. I'm a snake too, bro.
Yeah, that's why the wasp was throwing this. It was wild. But yeah, so it's eating this snake like hanging from a tree, and then all of a sudden this wasp just flies up and starts stinging the mess out of the coral snake, and then so it interrupts the whole meal. And there's like a whole video of it. I'll have to try and like tweet it out or something. But apparently it was close to the University of Florida. Coral snakes are actually super venomous, so don't get bit by those.
I will try not to.
Red touches yellow, kill a fellow. Red touches black, friend of Jack. That's how you know.
What does friend of Jack mean?
It just means it's not dangerous. That's okay. Just the saying. Because there's a
I've heard the red and yellow.
Yeah, there's a type of snake that mimics the coral snake by having the opposite color scheme. So
gotcha.
They have red touches black, and coral snakes red touches yellow. So that's how you know which one's dangerous.
And that was an early edition of Cam's Animal Kingdom. Did you see the video over the weekend of the water buffalo that got caught in the water? And like lions were chasing him outside. So then he's like, I'm going to go chill in the water. And then he went to the water. An alligator got him. He's like, damn it. So now I've got to swim back to shore. And then like the lions were like stalking him. And eventually the rest of his squad showed up and saved him. But like, man.
Oh, I think I know what video you're talking about. That's an old video.
No. That's the Battle of Waterloo. Come on, Kim. I've seen that one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That was a baby water buffalo. And then like that was a different one. This is a new one. This is a grown-ass water buffalo.
Okay.
And like, yeah, that one was like the lion and the – I don't know how that little one survived because that lion and the alligator were playing like tug-of-war with its neck. This one's different. This one is the lions and alligators don't actually really ever like get him, but he's getting stalked. Come on, you think I'm talking about an 8-year-old video?
Well, I didn't know. I was like, that one's a classic, but yeah. That's cool. I'm going to find that one.
Dog drives a ATV.
I'm in.
Yep. And runs over Alabama man.
Oh.
An Alabama man was injured after he was run over by his ATV, his all-terrain vehicle, when his dog accidentally released the throttle. The man had parked the four-wheeler near the entrance of a Bunny Bread outlet on Thursday and tied his dog's leash around the handlebars. The dog tried to run, tangling the leash around the controls and causing the vehicle to hit the man. Oh, man. The man was airlifted to a hospital.
Oh, man.
Dog must have been a Tennessee fan.
Yeah, I was about to make a joke. Was the dog named Tim Jordan? But I think I can't do that now.
No, we can still do that.
Okay, well, was the dog's name Tim Jordan?
As long as we don't have the confirmation that he's dead, I think we can still joke.
Clear. Okay.
Now, if it comes back that he dies, we will have to issue an apology tomorrow to the dog for making fun of him for being a murderer. But otherwise, I think we'll be okay.
All right. Keeping tattoos.
No.
Nope.
Sorry, I know it's a struggle to find.
Man does weird.
Never mind, you got stories on deck.
Man does weird thing on plane.
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life. That's insane. Can I hear it again? Do you have time?
All right. A man people have described as a disgusting pig is caught on a plane drying off his socks by hanging them from the window. So, yeah, he had a window seat and he basically just shoved his socks into that little windowsill so they could dry while he was flying on the plane. Somebody snapped a picture of it and it kind of went viral and people are just shaming this guy for trying to do his laundry while he's flying. Seems like he's just multitasking to me, but I could definitely see why people aren't a fan of this. But, yeah. Interesting use of planes.
Something that hasn't happened in New York City since 1993 happens this weekend. So 26 years of history.
Okay, I'm gonna know. Know.
Nobody got shot. No one really? Was shot in New York City over the weekend for the first time since 1993. No one got shot.
That's impressive. Maybe 26 we're turning a corner.
There's also another stat, I don't know if you saw it, it was like the first decade since like 1910 that the Yankees will have not made a World Series.
Jeez, that's
like
crazy.
They've made one World Series every decade, except this one, since 1910. Them getting eliminated by the Astros in Game 6. Jose Altuve walk-off bomb eliminates the Yankees and ends that streak. They had made a World Series every decade.
That's crazy. Well, shout out to New York being chill and not shooting anybody this week. Shout out to Harlem out there.
You think maybe these are connected? Easy. You think maybe these are connected? Like
maybe people are sad and they just didn't go out shooting guns or anything. I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of connection there, but I don't know. That's good to see though. That's nice.
There was a close call as a man fired his gun in the parking lot of a Bronx strip club after security wouldn't let him inside.
Classic.
But he just shot it up in the air.
Okay, he had some restraint. That's good.
He showed some restraint, so good for him.
Looks like America's turning the corner.
Maybe. Maybe.
Finally coming together. All right. Interesting stuff found in man's basement in Iowa.
Ooh, this could be anything. Dead body, dead yes. body, dead body, dead body, yes. dead body, dead body, dead body.
Yes. Not a dead body, but it does involve blood. This Iowa family's basement is soaked with 5 inches of animal blood. Apparently, a neighboring meat locker has been leaking into their basement. So now there's just 5 inches of like animal blood and tissue and stuff just sitting in their basement.
So
and
animal blood?
Yeah. So apparently he can't even clean it up yet. Because it is still leaking in. So they're trying to, they finally trace down the waste and it's like a large meat locker that is like pumping, that's now having to pump all their waste into a different tank because, yeah, they've been flooding this guy's basement with animal blood, which I'm sure probably did not smell pleasant. And yeah, he hasn't been able to clean it up yet, so that's an interesting basement experience. Not ideal.
The cheating epidemic in India gets a interesting, I guess, conclusion or a method to try to stop it.
No! God, please, no! No!
That one felt... Whatever. No big deal. Whatever. Let's see. Got that one. That one seems a little insensitive. Let's see. Well, Cam, I might be out of stories, bro.
Ooh.
Oh, nope. Okay, we got Lane Kiffin's fine amount. You care about that? You might as well stop it because I don't have any other stories, bro.
Yeah, I like Kiffin.
Apparently, all you get fined, which I really wanted Jerry Pruitt to get fined, man. He showed some restraint. Jeremy Pruitt showed some restraint. Lane Kiffin for his tweeting at Conference USA with the blind refs. Fine, $5,000. That doesn't seem like that much, to be honest. Like,
he's cool with that.
Imagine how much. I mean, like, and granted, the scales might be different, and you know, depending on the conferences and you know the different how much you get paid and all that stuff. But Pruitt could have spent an easy $5,000 or $10,000 and really won this fan base over forever if he just really let the chopper spray.
I agree.
On the SEC officiating, he should have just let it go.
You got to go all in on that. I think he
could have been the best money he ever spent. You know.
Yeah, no, that definitely would. The fans would have loved that because we all were complaining about it a little bit.
We're all still thinking about
it. We want our coach to say it. Why not?
That'd have been the best $5,000 or $10,000 he ever would have spent.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, probably definitely would have bought him some more fans in the stands this weekend. I think.
I know he's not saving it for like his wardrobe. So like, what are you saving this money for, bro?
Maybe he's just really financially responsible. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, just being a little financially responsible.
Yeah, maybe he's a smarter guy than we think, and he's got like a great finance plan set up, and he's just like $5,000, that's a waste.
Yeah,
gotta be careful with money. Can't splurge on that, you know? So
Maybe Jeremy Pruitt is playing chess.
All
along.
Kiffin's over there playing checkers.
Hey, great job by you today, Cam. Great job by you today. We were shorthanded, but you filled through. You filled in. You did a great job. The big man should be back next week, or tomorrow, excuse me. Tomorrow, the job's up next.